You're listening to This is Yoga Therapy. I'm your host, Michelle Lawrence, and I've had the opportunity to interview many of those who are making a difference at the intersections of yoga and health. And I'm here to share with you their stories and conversations. Thanks for listening.
In today's episode, I interviewed Rachel Krentzman. At age 16, Rachel was diagnosed with scoliosis. At 32, she suffered a herniated disc and was told she would have to modify her activities for the rest of her life. Instead, Rachel is now a walking testimonial for how yoga can be used therapeutically to heal your back pain. Rachel is a licensed physical therapist and yoga therapist. She offers international workshops and teacher trainings in yoga for a happy back and yoga therapy. And she's recently completed her Hikomi psychotherapy certification and is passionate about exploring the mind and emotional connection to physical pain and disease. It's so great to meet you and have you on the podcast today, Rachel.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm really excited to be here.
Can you share with our listeners a bit more about your story, and at what point did yoga enter your life, and how did it transform your life and your diagnosis? I shared just a little snippet above, but I want to hear some more about that.
The beginning of my journey with yoga started a little bit later in my life, probably around the age of 27, 28 or so. And initially, I just started yoga because I had some back pain, mild, not severe, due to my scoliosis. And I was working as a physical therapist in a rehab hospital. So I was lifting patients and I was bending down and doing a lot of physical work. And I'd always have some tension, but it wasn't terrible. But when I started practicing, I started to notice that I felt better. My pain went away. So a lot of it was related to posture and weakness in my muscles. And I felt great. And I was already a practicing physical therapist at the time when I found yoga. So as soon as I realized how great I felt, I thought, well, why don't we offer this more to people with pain, with back pain, with all kinds of pain? And so I started to explore where physical therapists were using yoga to help people with pain. And there weren't a lot of people back then. It was about over 25 years ago. So it was just the beginning of when yoga was becoming very popular. I was searching around to see what was happening. And there were only a few people that I met or saw were offering kind of an integration between physical therapy and yoga therapy. So I started to study that. I started to practice more intensely and started to find teacher trainings and different workshops. And at that point, once I was discovering, I found, you know, many different teachers, and I was practicing a lot. I was practicing probably almost daily, and I was practicing a more vinyasa, ashtanga-based style of yoga. What happened was, so initially I started yoga for the scoliosis, right, just to feel good in my body. Then as I got more into it, one day in a yoga class, a teacher pushed me into a forward bend and I herniated a disc. I heard a pop and then I felt tingling and numbness down my leg. And of course, being a physical therapist, I knew exactly what was going on. I could even identify which nerve root it was pressing on. And all of a sudden, I was on the floor with numbness, paralysis of one foot, couldn't move. And I was already teaching yoga at that point. So this was very confusing to me because yoga is supposed to help, not supposed to hurt. And there I was, kind of a yoga teacher with paralysis of my foot and sustaining a back injury during a yoga class. And it really threw me off. And I had to think a lot about how I'm practicing yoga, what the purpose of yoga is. What ended up happening was that I had to find new teachers. I had to find a new style of yoga that worked for me with injuries. So I started to look around, where can I practice with a disc herniation, you know, with back pain. And I found a few different teachers. My biggest influences in the early days when I started practicing, I found an Iyengar studio and I practiced with Aman Keys in San Diego. I also went to many conferences and was looking for teachers who were teaching how to use yoga therapeutically. And I found my main teacher, Adil Palkhivala. and Adil teaches up in Bellevue, Washington. He's the founder of Purna Yoga, and he studied personally with Iyengar since he was a child in India. And I jumped in to working with him as soon as I started working with him and saw him at the conference. It was a conference in San Francisco. I did a day-long workshop, and I was sold. Basically, everything he said made sense to me. I started to really explore the true origins of yoga, not just the physical practice. Started to understand why alignment is important. Started to pay more attention. And I ended up signing up for his 2,000-hour yoga teacher training. And so that's a little bit about the beginning. And then I basically kept practicing in a way that was a lot safer for my back and started to develop programs for other people who are in the same condition. Because I was fairly young, but I was too flexible, hyper flexible. Had to really re-examine how I was practicing yoga, which was a lot about how I was living my life in a little bit competitive way.
Yeah, what a story and what a entry point for your own, I guess, study of yoga therapy, really, in a way. And so grateful that you continued on your yoga path. And I could see how many might just say, I'm done with yoga at that point because of what happened and you didn't. And now you've turned that into a real therapeutic path for others too. So maybe we can talk about that. I don't know how long thereafter you started offering yoga therapy yourself for scoliosis and happy backs. Was it immediate? Was it after some time of study? Tell us more about that.
After some time of study, so I had to embark on my own journey of healing myself first and changing my practice and learning. And like I said, I was really on the lookout for teachers that could help me grow. Since I was a physical therapist, I already was thinking, well, if I'm going to do this myself, I'd like to help others do the same. And I think what I often tell people who have pain is that my injury really, although I didn't want to feel it at the time and it didn't, you know, wasn't a pleasant experience, it really was the beginning of me finding my purpose and finding my path. Mm-hmm. Up until then, mm-hmm. I was really practicing yoga on the side and practicing in a hospital, physical therapy. Once I started to immerse myself in the yoga and started to study with people, I started to gain a lot more knowledge about what yoga is really about. And I said, okay, I'm going to combine this with physical therapy. So it was definitely a few years, a good number of years of study. Like I said, I studied with Adil after I was a yoga teacher already. So I went to a few teacher trainings, did his 2,000-hour training. Then I did his intermediate training. I assisted him in workshops all over the world. I started to take workshops with some other teachers. I'm influenced as well by Judith Lasseter. We worked together quite a bit. And she's also mm-hmm. a physical therapist. So really following all the teachers who were teaching everything about therapeutic yoga and back pain specifically. After that, I started to develop, you know, taking pieces from what I learned from Adil, taking from my Iyengar practice, taking from what I learned from Judith, as well as other teachers and workshops, and really fleshing it out, kind of looking at what are the common themes, what is the pathway towards healing from back pain. And I created, you know, my own somewhat method. It's not new. Nothing's new, really. It's all there. But put it together in a package where I saw these are the best tools for back pain, neck pain, and scoliosis that I got from the top teachers.
Great. And you've been doing that now since when?
Probably about 20 years. So 18, yeah. I think 18 years. I opened a clinic in San Diego, a physical therapy and yoga clinic. And this was somewhat new. I know that now there's a lot more physical therapists who are practicing yoga and integrating yoga into their clinic settings. But mm-hmm. I opened my own clinic, started on my own. And eventually, as you know, these things happen, we meet people who are doing similar things, or people found me, other physical therapists. And I ended up with a team of 4 or 5 therapists. And we grew the clinic. I had a yoga wall put into the clinic, and our main goal was to spend more time with the clients and to teach from a holistic perspective, looking at the whole person, not just the injury, and specializing in yoga therapy.
That's awesome. So you also have a book, and it's entitled Scoliosis, Yoga Therapy, and the Art of Letting Go. And I would love to hear why the art of letting go is part of the title. Why is that an important element to what you teach around scoliosis and yoga therapy?
It's a really good question. I think that I, after working with scoliosis and working with back pain in general, a lot of the work can be about doing, doing asana practice and working hard and strengthening the core and stretching the muscles. And what I noticed for me and for many of my clients and students was that there happens to be a pattern of tension in the body that develops, that it's more than just tight muscles that basically are limited because of a shorter side of the curve and a longer side of the curve, that some people walk around in constant tension, and it's not because of their scoliosis. It's because of their stress, their tightness, their trauma, their patterns, and a lot of it is unconscious or subconscious. So in the scoliosis book, the whole beginning, the sequence that I offer in the beginning is a lot about just letting go of tension in all of the muscles so that the muscles can be loose, relaxed, not just physically, but also mentally and emotionally. And when we do that, I believe the spine is free to find its own alignment, that we have to believe that our body is really seeking alignment all the time, which is what we learn in yoga. So the letting go, you know, you can do amazing exercises and have the best therapists and have the best teachers, but if you're holding on to a lot of tension, it's just going to come back. And this is the quality of yoga that really separates it from other forms of intelligent movement or exercise. This quality of letting go of stress, letting go of judgment, letting go of criticism about your body, letting go of, you know, holding on to control.
Yeah, attachments.
Yeah, exactly. Many things. I also have another book, actually. I have two books. So the second book is The Happy Back Yoga, which is, or Yoga for a Happy Back, rather. And that's for mostly for teachers, and it goes through different programs. And there I go into it a little bit deeper, even the concept of letting go. I bring a lot of stories about my life, because the back pain I experienced also came at a time when things were very stressful. I was going through a divorce. Mm-hmm. I was single parenting. So these things don't happen in a vacuum. And it's not all due to alignment, to be honest. In the beginning, I think I was very focused on alignment. And now I've gotten much more into the psychology, the mind-body psychology. And I see that a lot of it is our relationship to how we experience the world, really, is how we hold ourselves in the world. Do we hold ourselves with too much tension? Do we collapse and kind of sink into the ground instead of lifting ourselves up? And a lot of it is related to our thoughts and beliefs about ourselves.
Let's talk about that a little bit more, the physical and emotional aspects of pain, if you will, or whether that's scoliosis or back pain, and then how yoga is a good answer to that.
So the mind and body are really very, very connected. And as I've continued teaching and studying yoga therapy, started to look at the relationship between the gunas, which is tamas, sattva, and rajas. Tamas meaning kind of collapse or heaviness. Rajas meaning agitation or lots of movement and chaos. And sattva meaning balance. So there's these qualities of nature that we have. And then I started learning a little bit from BMC with Bonnie Bainbridge-Cohen, and wonderful teacher here where I live now. And then I started to look at psychotherapy through the lens of Hakomi. And this is a long-term of study. I've been studying for about 9 years and practicing now as a psychotherapist, and realizing that our beliefs and our experiences have a very strong impact on how we relate to the earth and our posture. And just working on our posture can change our beliefs, and how changing our beliefs can affect our posture. So we can go both ways. Now in yoga, we know that the movement is wonderful and beautiful. And a lot of, if you practice with proper alignment and have accurate knowledge of what to do for which conditions, it's very healthy for the spine. You know, one of the main focuses of yoga is the spine, because we want to have a healthy spine so we can sit and meditate, not just to have a healthy spine, but so we can do more inner inquiry. But when I started to learn more about psychology, I realized this is all in yoga philosophy. This is a lot of the yoga philosophy really relates to the mind-body psychology. And as I went deeper into it, I realized that there's really a strong relationship between yoga philosophy, working with the mind, letting go, like you said, of attachments, especially to how my life should be, my place in this world, my sense of safety, relationships. All of those things have an impact on our posture and how we literally stand in the world.
Yeah. It's interesting to me because I see so many connections now where mental health practitioners are learning yoga and yoga therapy, and how yoga therapists can work kind of on their own through just the teachings of yoga, right? On the whole person. And that includes the mind and the body and the spirit. Sometimes there's a little conflict there, right? There's a little rub, and understanding clearly scope of practice can be tricky, but it sounds like you've just gone so deeply in a lot of different modalities, which I really respect. It sounds like you are a lifelong learner, and I think that's so important for us to have models like you out there for that.
Well, the reason I started studying this, in truth, was that I was teaching anatomy for yoga teacher trainings. I was running my clinic. I was having good results with clients. But there was this piece missing, you know, this piece of, if I felt that there was nothing structurally wrong with someone and they were practicing and doing all the work, but they were not getting better, I saw that there was a deeper underlying cause, but I didn't really have the tools. And I realized that it's outside the scope of physical therapy and yoga therapy. And that's why I really wanted to dive deeper into studying more about how trauma and stress affects the body. So I really went for it. Not everyone's going to do that.
Right. And there's a lot we can do as yoga therapists too.
Yeah, exactly. As a yoga therapist, here's the piece that I found very interesting, because practicing yoga, just yoga, in the context of a class, or even if you do private yoga with a teacher, it's very different than yoga therapy. And the practice of yoga is very solitary. You know, it's a process of going inward and practicing and sadhana, and it will take you there eventually. Mm-hmm. But what I realized, the piece that was missing between yoga and yoga therapy, was this quality of relationship. Having a therapist or a person to witness you, to guide you, to be with you, to accept you. And that's really an important piece in healing. That's totally my opinion. That's the therapeutic element, is the relationship and the trust that's developed between the therapist and the student, and how you co-create a plan together. And I think that that's the powerful piece, because when I noticed the clients that were improving, I really didn't believe. I'm going to just say it out loud.
Please do. I know what you're going to say.
That it wasn't necessarily all of the techniques that I had learned, even though I do believe that I learned very, very good techniques, very intelligent techniques. But what I felt was the biggest piece in healing was the fact that I was really with the person, the presence, compassion, that I was listening, that they were seen and heard, and that I gave them a solution. They believed me. They believed me because I believed it.
You had conviction.
Yeah.
It's so true. And that's what we teach our students that are studying to become yoga therapists as well. And sometimes it clicks and sometimes it doesn't. And now I even get to the point where I say, like, when you consider the treatment plan with the client, remember you and your presence and your capacity to hold that space and be in therapeutic relationship with them is one of the elements of the plan, if not the most important one.
Exactly. I completely agree with that. We have six principles that we work with. I have a yoga therapy training, and we work according to the principles rather than the techniques. You know, initially our first principle was support precedes movement, and we have all kinds of principles like alignment and neuroplasticity and different things. And our final principle was love and presence. And after teaching for 6 years in our training, they said, we need to bump this to number one. We need to redo the order of our principles, that the love and presence and our practice as teachers is what creates that. So our practice, you know, creates that ability for us to stand in loving presence with someone else and work with them.
Mm-hmm. Sounds like we're teaching very similar things. I love it. We have four principles that we teach too that come above any technique or tool that you're going to hand the client. And we teach that sadhana really helps guide all of those too. So we are like-minded, like-hearted here. I love that. So share with us more about how you're bringing your life and work to the world now. Books, courses, who you're serving. You've got training programs, it sounds like. I know you've got some upcoming engagements that you can tell all of our listeners about.
So I'm really working a lot now on trying to get my work out into the world and, you know, beyond my personal contacts. So that's important for me. And my target, you know, the people that I want to reach are people who are dedicated to yoga, the yoga teachers and yoga therapists who want to help people heal from pain and believe in the healing power of yoga. So that's who I'm addressing, probably much of the audience of this podcast. And I have written two books. I've written Yoga for a Happy Back for teachers specifically. So it's a bigger book with a lot more complex ideas and concepts and a pathway towards helping people with back pain. And then I have the Scoliosis Yoga Therapy and the Art of Letting Go. And that's a little more designed for the public. A lot of people who, you know, don't know what to do, they have kids with scoliosis, pick it up and they contact me. So it's really nice to hear from people all over the world. It was translated into French, so I'm very happy about that. So I get some emails from people in France. And so I have my books, but what I'm focusing now are on more online trainings and offerings with lectures. So there's a full Happy Back 25-hour certification program, and I guide people along. So they have access to me, and we have a community online, and we meet occasionally, and we share ideas, and sometimes someone gives a lecture. So I really am passionate about sharing this work. Now that I've actually finished the Hakomi psychotherapy, my next project is to really go deeper into how our beliefs affect our posture and our bodies. So that's something that people can look out for coming up soon. And I also specialize in yoga therapy for scoliosis. And I created a program specifically for young people. I think the reason is because when I was 16 and I was diagnosed, the doctors just said, okay, we'll just keep our eye on it. And there's nothing you can do about it. And that's still the message, even though that was many years ago. I won't say how many, but many years ago. The message is, I'm hearing the same. Basically, you have a scoliosis. There's nothing you can do. Exercise doesn't help. We'll see if you need a brace and maybe you'll need surgery. And then they're kind of left on their own. And a lot of parents are terrified. Kids are terrified. They're now labeled as having, you know, a back problem. And yoga can really help with so many things, including the spine, but not just the spine, just helping people realize that they have control over their bodies, they have a connection with their body, that having a scoliosis doesn't mean you have to have back pain, and that at worst, yoga will help it from or prevent it from getting worse, and at best, it might actually correct or help the curve. So there's so many benefits. So I'm really trying to reach younger people and get them into yoga. I'll be presenting at the SITAR conference, the Symposium on Yoga Therapy and Research, this June on yoga therapy for teens with scoliosis. So I'll be teaching a class there, and I'll be there with my book and hope to meet lots of people there who are interested in this work.
Awesome.
So last, and I like to ask this question at the end of the podcast of each of our guests, and it has to do with your own practice. And we do place an emphasis on that. I know you do too. I just heard you say that. And really that your own personal practice comes first, and it's what supports you, enables you to do work with others as a yoga therapist and to hold that therapeutic relationship. So tell us, if you would, what your daily practice or practices look like.
I would say that the first thing I do is check in and see what I need. Every day seems to be a little different, so it's really an opportunity for me to check in and see where I'm at. But now I'm approaching, I'm 52, I'll be 53 soon, and I'm sort of entering the perimenopausal time. And so a lot of things are changing for me personally, as well as my physical practice and my yoga practice. And I'm noticing that I need different things than I needed even a couple of years ago. So right now, currently, I'm feeling that my yoga practice needs to be a lot more restorative. So I practice, but I also feel that back bends are very good for my scoliosis. So I like to do a lot of restorative back bends and grounding, standing poses, working a lot with the legs and feet, especially, you know, when things are stressful, as they are in these times. And a lot of inversions. I just love inversions. But I do them with props. I do them with props to keep my neck safe, to keep my back safe. I have a slight scoliosis, but still it affects my body. And I actually have a reversed cervical curve. So my neck is very sensitive. But I love the effect on my nervous system that inversions have. I just feel really grounded and centered after them. So I found ways of practicing, and I teach other ways of practicing where you can enjoy the power of the inversions in a more restorative way, or in a way that doesn't hurt the body, whether you use props or blocks or blankets or a chair. So those are the key things that I've been working on lately in my practice, noticing that those are what make me feel best.
That's great. Well, thanks so much for sharing about your life and your work, Rachel. And I am just delighted to have met you here, and perhaps our paths will cross again sometime in the future.
I hope so. I like to meet people in person. So if anyone will be at Sitar this year, it would be great to come by and say hello. I should have a booth there. I'll be sitting at a table.
Wonderful. Thanks so much.
You're welcome.
If you'd like to learn more about who we are and what we do, visit us at innerpeaceyogatherapy.com.